everybody. This is episode 378 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. I am your host, Mark Kuznez, and today I have a bit of a hodgepodge. It's probably going to be a short show because I don't have anything I want to talk about strongly. But there's just a few games that I've put a little bit of time into that I want to talk about. And yeah, it's Father's Day. If you didn't know that, when I'm recording this, Sunday, Father's Day. And I just want to wish a very happy Father's Day to my, you guessed it, father, who is a wonderful man, someone I cherish oh so dearly, as longtime listeners know from my random bouts of love for him. And this particular weekend, the U.S. Open is happening in golf. And my dad is a huge golfer and a golf fan. And so on Friday, got him a ticket to go see it. And it's in Wisconsin. I don't remember where, but he went out and had a very good time. And that was very nice when to hear when he came back. I figured he'd like it. I was too busy to go with him. Also, the tickets are expensive. I was like, I'll treat him. I'm not going to treat myself, even though I think it'd be fun to just go to one of the events, especially one of the majors. But he had a lot of fun and was talking about how close he was able to get to these players and just how crazy it was to see them actually drive the ball compared to him. Even though I always remind him when he gets upset about golf that he is a 70-year-old amateur. Even calling him an amateur isn't incorrect. He's a 70-year-old enthusiast who likes to play, and he shouldn't compare himself to these 20 and 30-year-old professionals. But yeah, and a funny thing that he was telling me too is that he had his phone with him and he didn't have it muted, and it did go off at one point when a player, I don't know if he told me who, but when one of the players was up and ready to drive. Thankfully, it didn't happen during the backswing, but it did happen nonetheless, and he scurried off as soon as he got it out of his phone and turned it off. He's just like, I'm out of here. I got to get away from here. It's very uncomfortable. But I also blamed him for Ricky Fowler's poor showing the second day because he is rooting for him. So am I, because I don't know what it is. Like, something about Ricky Fowler, he first came up as this kind of weird, I don't want to say weird, but he's just sort of like with his long hair and everything. It's like, oh, what's this? I guess maybe like a very California-looking fool or something. But he seems to have matured quite nicely. He's become a pretty good player all around. And we also talked about how we liked the way he responded to the thing that happened a few months ago with the LPGA and the woman who got a penalty like a day or two after it happened to her, where she miswrote her score for a hole or something. It was just crazy. And it's just, I think professional golf in general needs to loosen up because it's very, very strict to such a ridiculous degree with its rules. And that was after someone called it a viewer, a person, you know, somebody who watches golf and is a fan of golf, called in the mistake like a day or whatever later. And that just seems a bit ridiculous. That would be like a fan of baseball watching a game and seeing that, you know, oh, this was supposed to be a strike, so that should have been a strikeout. You're going to have to cancel that inning, blah, 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 blah. And they change the score and the outcome of a game a day after. You wouldn't do that in any other professional sport. But they do that in golf because, whatever. I think, one, they should not accept any kind of information or whatever, help, quote-unquote help, from unofficial viewers or whatever. It should only come from officials who are watching and notice something. And two, if they don't notice it right away, especially if they don't notice it on the same day, forget it. It's done. What's done is done. It's on you to notice the mistake. And these are mistakes too. They're not done with malice. They're not intentionally done to try and cheat. So yeah. That was a nice little gift for him. And today, playing a little Mario Kart and whatnot, which has been fun. Going to watch the end of the U.S. Open, which it should be starting fairly soon. But, yeah, speaking of Mario Kart, I am really in a weird place with my Switch because I think for everything it does really well, it does stuff really poorly. Because for the first time now, I tried putting on the little wrist straps that give it a little extra bulk to the Joy-Con controls individually and makes it slightly bigger, maybe more comfortable to use as a controller individually. And makes the shoulder buttons more prominent and easier to press. But what I found when putting them on is that they are, for the most part, easy to put on. But especially with my, I believe, left one, the blue one, it is very difficult to take it off. And it feels like I'm going to break it. I think even in the instructions, it says, you don't have to press the release button to do it. But it felt like I was going to break it every time. And I feel like I've probably damaged it slightly. Because I did take it off and then put it back on numerous times to try and see if I was doing something wrong. Because it just did not feel right. And it just has me concerned. The build quality in general has me concerned about these little things that are slightly disconcerting. Like with the controllers and the fact that it's a plastic little clamp or whatever nib that keeps it locked in place. But and with the wrist straps, I just want to point out to anyone who may be wondering this or going to immediately question me, I did not put them on the wrong way. I don't know how, when there were earlier reports of people doing this, I don't know how anyone put it on the wrong way, unless they're just so rapidly putting them on and not even looking at all. It is so easy to see that, oh, here's a plus symbol, here's a plus symbol, goes so they're right next to each other. Easy. How you can screw that up, just it boggles my mind. But whatever, a lot of people did it. People in the industry did it. People in the press and all that did that. I still don't understand how, because it's so easy to see. And I feel like it even would, just by putting them on the right way, and then I think I even just kind of like felt around or tried to for like just a millimeter put them on the wrong way just to see if it, and it just didn't even feel right. So that's weird. But yeah, I also feel like the blue controller is just, when it locks in on the actual tablet, it doesn't move around like when I'm playing it, but if I just adjust it slightly, you can feel that it's loose enough to move smaller than a millimeter, but it doesn't, it's not completely firm. It doesn't affect me in actual use, but if I purposefully try and adjust it while it's still locked in place, it does move ever so slightly. Then there's, of course, the screen, which is plastic, which is very prone to scratching, which is just annoying and frustrating. Of course, the kickstand is really just a micro SD card cover and not a real kickstand. I've had issues with my Switch, and I don't feel like this is a problem with the actual Switch, but it would not read too, and I bought these used in very good condition or whatever, or like new condition from Amazon, so that could be the problem. But when I did try to put, I believe it was a 256 card in them, it never read them. The first one, it didn't read at all. Then the second one, it read, but then it recognized it, but it wouldn't actually write any data to it. So I don't know what that was all about, which was frustrating. But it's weird. I'm like thinking, do I regret purchasing it? And part of me does, but then part of me loves playing Tumble Seed on it, which I'm still playing. I pick it up every now and again. Love the way it feels on there. It looks great. I love the feel of the device when it's in handheld mode. And every time I play Mario Kart with my father, I don't regret it at all because we have a blast with it and it's a lot of fun. And the things they've added to Mario Kart 8 for ease of use are an absolute selling point for me, because that is the only reason my father is able to handle that game. Because he's, I don't want to say he's a bad racer, but he definitely does not, I can't remember if I've mentioned this, but he does not understand the differences between driving in a game and in real life. So he does a lot of oversteering, because that's what he's used to in real life. When you're turning all these things, you're going to turn the wheel more than you need to in a game where, you know, maybe that would be the case with strong simulation games, but with more arcadey games, you just need to kind of slightly adjust it. Give it a little tap. So yeah, I appreciate the both the, I forget, there's like an auto acceleration, and then there's a whatever it is that keeps you basically on the track. So that really helps. And it's funny because if you have both those turned on and you don't touch it at all, it basically just drives for itself. So yeah, I even like using the one that keeps me on the track, because I need to do some research, because I've never really looked into it, but I just cannot get drifting and all of that wrapped around my head. I just do not get tight turns in that game. It just, I do not compute. But every time we play that, I have an absolute blast, and I just want some more experiences like that. So I'm looking forward to more local multiplayer games. I don't know. Maybe just ARMS have it. I don't know, but I haven't played ARMS, and I'm not going to just go out and buy that. Hopefully Puyo Puyo Tetris goes on sale soon. I wonder when they'll have their first Switch eShop sale, because I would not mind picking up a game or two. I'd love to buy The Binding of Isaac. When that hits 20, I will pick it up again, but I'm not paying 40 for that. But moving on from all that Switch talk, very, very weird device. At times I love it, at times I hate it. Also, the dock, it does scuff up the bottom lower left-hand corner of my device, so that I have resorted to getting an USB-C extender cable, and then I've taped down the little thing that I guess maybe covers the USB-C that is in the dock, so that I can actually keep the plug, the adapter plugged in, and then I've taped it so it doesn't get removed, so I can just have it there. And I have the dock shoved under my little entertainment center area where I have all plugs and stuff like that, and the little cable sticking out, so that when we do want to play on the TV, I plug it in that way. So that's not ideal, and that's frustrating that that's a thing. So yeah, I feel like for every good thing there is to say about the Switch, there is a bad thing, and that's really annoying. But when the Switch is at its best, it feels so good and it's so much fun. It's especially good as a portable device, as a handheld, even though the battery is not great. But in terms of feeling, in terms of the quality of the screen, it is only 720p, but in a screen that size, you don't need to have a 4K or even a 1080p screen. I will say, though, I think Zelda doesn't look that great in TV mode. It looks much better on tablet mode. Not that I've played much of it, neither, just from my personal brief experience. Moving on, anyway, for real this time. I've played a few indie games on PC, both of which I got codes for. The first is Rocket Wars, which is a couch co-op, not co-op, versus game, competitive game, where you play as a ship and you're in this small little arena, a little circle arena, and I think there's like a little planet or something that's in the middle, and you're flying around it trying to destroy each other in either a death match where it's the highest score, or the two a score, the survivor mode where every ship has a certain number of lives, and whoever ends up being the last one to survive wins. And then there is a sort of King of the Hill mode where you are I don't remember what you're grabbing, but you then turn into a big ship, and while you're this big ship, you are accumulating points for time spent there and kills made then. And if you end up as that ship when the mode ends, you also get points, a little bonus points there. There is no online multiplayer, so keep that in mind. And there is AI, so it's up to one to four players. You can play against three AI, or, you know, two human players, two AI, or just two human players. You don't need to have four players total. But it's just okay. There are ships to unlock and upgrades, and the ships will have different abilities, strengths, and weaknesses. Visually, it's very, very simplistic. The controls are a lot like Asteroids in that you rotate your ship around, and then you have a thruster to move your ship, and then you just have a basic weapon, and then there are power-ups that are scattered throughout the level that you get to use. And I find that it can be a bit hectic, given that the play area is so small relatively. And when you have four players going on and just shooting off and thrusting around and using various power-ups, it can all just get a wee bit annoying. But yeah, I don't know. It's okay. It retails for $7.99, currently on sale through July 5th for $7.19. It's Windows, and that is it. No Mac or Linux support. Yeah, and it has controller support recommended with a controller. And I think it's just a bit too much happening on screen. And there's also one power-up in particular I really don't like, which is a nuke, which if you have it and you use it, I guess maybe if you get killed before it goes off, then nobody else is going to die. But if nobody kills you while you have that nuke, you basically get a free kill on everyone. Everyone will get destroyed. It's not even a vicinity thing. It's not like you can get away from it. Everyone's dying except for that ship. And that's the kind of annoying thing. It would be okay if maybe it counts against you too, but nope. It's just a super overpowered power-up that if you happen to get it, good on you. Then the other game I played is called Drifting Lands, which is a shmup with a lot on top of it. Its basic gameplay is a shmup, a side-scrolling 2D shmup. And the gameplay is solid. It has a beautiful art style to it, a very painterly colorful, really thick and rich palette and all that. It's not cel-shaded because it doesn't have these thick lines, doesn't have thick line work. And it has more texture, and it just has more texture than cel shading, which is much more blocky and, you know, I don't know what the hell I'm trying to say right here, but it's a side scrolling shmup, left to right, but enemies can come from any of the edges, so they can come from the bottom, from the top, from the right, or the left. So it is recommended, and it is told to you in the tutorial that you should never stay too close to any edge because enemies could come from any direction. And all that feels good. You have your base weapon, and then you have various power-ups which you can equip before going on a mission. And all that feels good. The problem is there is so much going on. There's a story and a lot of talking. It's all written text. No voice work, so you have to read it all. I didn't find any of it that compelling after a while, so I just stopped reading it and just skipping it all. And when I was skipping it, I'm like, holy crap, there's a lot of this going on. And then there are the various upgrades you can get for your ship, for like the hulls, for weapons, for engines, and you collect loot, which you can sell. And it's a lot of busy work, and it's not that clear what you can do. Like, I have things that I collect, or there's stuff in the store which seems to, it seems like I have all the requirements to buy this and put it on my ship, but it won't let me do it, and I don't know why. And there's a lot of things about the game that I don't really get. And it didn't do a good job in the tutorial of telling me how all of the marketplace and all that crap works, because there are items that are clearly not usable because they have a red outliner, they have a little exclamation point or something like that, which shows me that clearly I cannot use this because I do not meet the requirements. But then I look at something else and I supposedly meet all the requirements, but when I select it and then want to put it on my ship, the part of the ship where it would go is highlighted in red and won't let me do it. And there's nothing that tells me, like, when I try to do it, it doesn't say, sorry, but you don't meet so-and-so requirement. It just doesn't work, and I wish there was a bit more explanation. But, yeah, it's okay. I like the core gameplay. I just think all of the systems and all the busy work that's on top of it, I understand why you do that, and you want to put more, and you know, and have it be more than just a shmup, but I don't think it all works, and it's a bit confusing. And if they had a better tutorial or more explanations in it, or I don't know, made it a bit more user friendly, I think the interface is a bit, because you're using an on-screen cursor to navigate a lot of the stuff, even though it has full controller support, and also recommends using a controller. I think usability and all that could be improved, and hopefully will be in updates, because there's a lot of potential in it. I think it looks great. It's got pretty good music and it plays really well. It's just all of those things that are around the core game kind of turn me off and make me not want to deal with it. Because even just even having to take the time to skip all these cutscenes, they're not cutscenes, they're just little things where it's like, okay, you see a portrait of a character and then a lot of text, then another portrait of a different character, text, and even doing that is kind of tedious. So there's a lot of tedium thrown upon this solid game, and it's frustrating that it's there, because I would love to just play through the game and not have to deal with any of that crap, or have it way, way, way simplified. But yeah, I'll probably come back to it and mess around with it a bit more, but I would like to see some of that changed. Though I don't know if this is, probably is not a wide complaint, but yeah. And it is currently on sale through, oh, it ends in 21 hours from the point of this recording. So if you hear this right away, it may still be on sale. But it's on sale for 20% off for $15.19 regular price, $18.99. This is on Windows and Mac, so check it out. You may like it. And that is, once again, Drifting Lands. Both these games are on Steam, Drifting Lands and Rocket Wars. So yeah, that's all the game talk I have to talk about. Keeping up with anime, I'm catching up with Grand Blue Fantasy, which I still find to be all right. It's a solid series based on a video game, a mobile game, with really good art, and the animation seems to be improving over time, which is nice. I said this before, but I really like the sketchy style of the art and the thin line work of it all. And a lot of the designs are also quite nice. The voice acting is pretty good. And the story is stereotypical. You have this, whatever, evil creating this great weapon of mass destruction, and now these people, this ragtag team of do-gooders or whatever, are going to save the world, obviously. And the annoying initial antagonist is nowhere to be found now. I'm 6 episodes through it. So yeah, It's a solid show. It's nothing amazing. And what I appreciate most of all is that you do not need any knowledge of the mobile game, because I don't know jack about the mobile game, but I'm still enjoying it enough, which is something I couldn't say about other games, about other anime based off of games. I think the one that comes to mind most recently was that God World, whatever it was, which also had art I found questionable at times. But yeah, and then, or was it God Hand? No, God Hand's that game that I'm gonna get all confused. But yeah, and then of course My Hero Academia is still amazing. I am really loving The Royal Tutor, and I will be sad when it ends with one more episode. Sakura Quest is still very delightful and sweet and adorable. And then Love Tyrant is awful. And so is, what is it? I can't remember the name of this other show that I don't know why I'm still watching the shows. It is in part because I'm just watching them dubbed, but God, are they terrible. Also, Kado 1 has a very, very strong dub, probably the best dub I've listened to this season. And it is just a very, very thought-provoking, interesting series that is different from any other show this season. And it is different from your stereotypical anime, because it is very, there's not a lot of action to it. And it's very, very, not heavy, but it's just more of a thinking show. It'll make you think about things. And maybe if you don't want to do that, don't watch it, but I highly recommend checking it out. Yeah, and I think the most telling thing is that it's got a lot of CG going on in it. A lot. And I don't like CG. And I'm not a huge fan of it in here. But the story is so good that I am willing to ignore all of that. And my distaste for CG in general. And then, yeah. Just been catching up on a lot of movies. But yeah, I think that will do it for today's episode. Because it's getting close to U.S. Open time. So I'm going to go spend some time with my father and enjoy this Father's Day. And remember, my way of celebrating Father's Day really is not just celebrating with my dad, but by keeping the world free of me as a dad. So, ladies, don't worry. My seed's going nowhere near you. Anyway, children, don't ask your parents about what a seed is in this particular context. Once again, I'm your host, Marcus Nez. Y'all can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Xbox Live, Monomilus, and Steam at PX Sausage. I am pretty much at PX Sausage everywhere except PSN, where I'm still the Kush3 and always will be, because Sony seems so inclined to not let us change our names because they are sons of biscuits. But, the site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com, where you can find this podcast, Pixelated Radio, Pixelated Paranormal, as well as the art I do, which if you'd like to see all of it in one nice little place, go over to pxsart.com, which will show you it all in all of its glory, as well as give you links to where you can order prints. And right now, if you order prints, you can get free shipping on all orders over $25 through Monday, so maybe get yourself a print right now if you hear this in time. And of course, if you'd like to support the site in general, you can go over to patreon.com/pxs and support us that way with a buck or two every month. And yeah, if you haven't already, please do go over to iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe to the show, because that really does help. The show is also available on more places than just iTunes, like Stitcher Radio, Player FM, the other places, Google Play Store, SoundCloud, though it's like 7 episodes behind at this point, so whatever. Who cares about SoundCloud, really? Especially when I can't put all the episodes up, because I'm not going to pay for that just for SoundCloud use. Yeah, and also check out some podcasting friends of the Pixelated Sausage family, like Sports Car Unleashed, hosted by Pixelator Radio co-host Rich. And that is all about racing, if you couldn't tell from the title. I don't know what that pause was for. You should also check out the Crazy Sunshine podcast, which is all about anime, and the Oh Indeed podcast, which is all about video games. So yeah, do all that or don't. I don't care. You've listened to this show and you've heard me just going on and on and on. So that will do it. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there, especially my father, who, you know what? I don't care who you are. My father is better than your father. I said it. I did. But that's how we all feel. Isn't it true? Unless our father was a jackass. If your father is a not so great person, I am sorry. But yeah, I don't know where to go from that. I don't know how to make it better. That just sucks. And I really do feel bad if you don't have a lovely father to celebrate Father's Day with for whatever reason. So, yeah. Let's just end it on a sad note. I'm going to leave now. Bye.